This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
I woke up this morning and there was just a chill in the air when I walked outside, walked to my car, got ready for the day. It was not the typical 70-degree morning that I've been used to. Mid-50s, it was a little bit chilly outside. Just a little chilly, as football weather is in the air. We begin the month of September. September 1st, cue up your earth, wind, and fire. September is finally here. In the start of football season, I'm Austin Bechtold with you. It's the Fan Early Morning Show. College football games began last week. Notre Dame played. A couple other significant games were played as well. But a lot of under-the-radar type of matchups. To the point where this week, though, is where it all begins. College football is back in full force. Pitt is hosting Wofford at 3:30. You can hear that game right here on 93.7 The Fan. There are so many intriguing matchups to look at. Colorado TCU, welcome to Colorado, Mr. Deion Sanders. Your 20.5-point underdogs on the road at TCU, who was in the college football playoff national championship game last year. That'll be fun. Virginia, ACC matchup against SEC Tennessee. Tennessee 12th in the country. They're 27.5-point dogs. The Cavaliers are. Ole Miss plays Mercer. Mercer, one of the best teams to ever play in the SEC. It seems like Mercer might be an SEC school, right? They play Ole Miss. They play Alabama. They play Auburn. They play everybody under the sun in the SEC. Cupcake game for Ole Miss. They'll be favored by a jillion. Oregon hosts Portland State. You get a lot of these cupcake games in week one. But you also get the occasional Big Ten matchup. Ohio State, who we still don't really know who their quarterback's going to be, on the road against Indiana. They're 30-point favorites. Georgia hosts Tennessee Martin. Congratulations on winning by 50. Nevada's at USC. USC played last week. Caleb Williams, can he go back-to-back Heisman? It seems like the Arizona Cardinals are already tanking for him. But no matchups between really any ranked opponents this week. And, I mean, that's okay. You don't really get it that often. But the best matchup on my ledger is West Virginia-Penn State. It's been an uproar on this station. It's been discussed so much. WVU, Penn State, Pitt, expectations for these teams. And I want to give you mine. Starting with the Panthers. Man, I trust Pat Narduzzi. I like what he has built. There is just some sustained success that you didn't see in previous campaigns with the Panthers. And Narduzzi has been that stabilizing force. He has been a very colorful character in the media, delivering multiple types of answers, including his thoughts on the Nittany Lions. And Pat Narduzzi basically said, hey, let's go. Let's play. Let's play Penn State. They'll be playing against West Virginia tomorrow in Nittanyville in Happy Valley. But Pat Narduzzi, he wants his own crack too.
We had a host on this station say this week,
that the reason why those two teams play and Pitt and Penn State don't play is because Penn State is afraid to play Pitt. You think there's any truth to that?
You'd have to ask Jane Franklin that. I don't know. I would think you'd have to ask him that.
Do you think he has the call, that he makes the call on the rivalry?
I believe so.
Well, he's got a lot of Akrons on his schedule the last time I checked with him.
Pat, what if it was your call?
My call is let's go. That's you know, we've known that. We've called. We've asked. You know.
Has it gotten to a point where you don't
Pat
even
Kraft,
ask?
The new AD maybe can maybe get it done. But, you know, I got faith in Pat Kraft, the new AD. So maybe
do you know him?
Yeah, I do know Pat. He's a great guy.
So you're not at a point where you're like so frustrated by the indifference on that end that you feel like giving up. You're still kind of banging the drum trying to make it happen, Pat.
Yeah, I mean, but these schedules are built out for 6-7 years, so it's going to be a while. You know, I don't know if I'll be retired in 10 years, 20 years. I'll be 80 years old.
Oh, jeez.
You know?
The scheduling thing is a little bit of an issue, obviously, just by how non-conference games are scheduled so far down the line. And it's really an opportunity for Pitt, an opportunity for Penn State to showcase on the national stage against West Virginia, 7:30 game. NBC, and that was a game that was scheduled 10 years ago. All the way back to 2013, this game was officially on the books to be taking place. I mean, it was taking so long for this game to finally materialize, and it'll be played next season at WVU, the WVU-Penn State matchup, but that's neither here nor there at this point. I want to get into my predictions for Pitt, my predictions for Penn State, and a little bit for WVU. The Panthers, coming off of an ACC championship 2 years ago with Kenny Pickett, first-round draft pick. Servassier Dennis is now in the NFL for the Panthers, as well as Kalijah Kancey. Kancey on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The schedule is absolutely brutal for Pitt this year. Brutal. And that includes non-conference, and that includes the conference schedule, but there's a couple good parts of it that help. Just to narrow down the list, you start with Wofford. Should be an easy win. Cincinnati, a program that was in the College Football Playoff a couple of years ago, but is now in transition mode. At West Virginia, I guess it's going to be a difficult game for Pitt. It really is. I mean, at WVU, that environment, the good thing is that it's the third game of the year for Pitt. If this game was the first game of the year again, like last year's Backyard Brawl, I would have severe questions because there's no preseason in college football. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get. And that was on full display with Keaton Slovis in his first season with the Panthers, first and only season, after saw how everything materialized in the middle of the year and how bad it became, really after only two games. But you saw that Pitt came out flat. And West Virginia had a great shot to win it because of that. But now Pitt, in week three, will face off against the Mountaineers a little bit later on. That could be to their benefit. But the home schedule, too, is brutal. The entire schedule is difficult. You got to face off against North Carolina on September 23rd. The Tar Heels are ranked 21st in the country. Drake May could be a consensus top five NFL draft pick. He probably will. The quarterback for the Tar Heels, who is on a lot of teams' radars. Then you got to go to Virginia Tech, which is a very difficult environment to play. Louisville at home should be a good win. At Florida State, should be a win. Or at Wake Forest, I should say, should be a win. And then Murderer's Row at Notre Dame and home against Florida State. The expectations are surrounding Florida State, ACC championship, maybe even college football playoff for a program ranked fifth in the country. Notre Dame is Notre Dame, 13th overall in the AP poll. Pitt's got to go there. And then after those two games, back-to-back, which are so difficult, Pitt's at Syracuse, and that game's at Yankee Stadium, hosting Boston College on Thursday night, and then at Duke to close out November. So for me, I see 8-4. You know, I could see 9-3, but the schedule's brutal. Phil Dracovic adds veteran stability with two playmaking wide receivers, Bob Means, as well as Keontae Mumfield, to make the offense better than last year. Rodney Hammond, he's in line for a breakout year. Israel Abanikanda is no longer here. Drafted by the New York Jets, and unfortunately, he's like third or fourth on their depth chart. Breece Hall, they signed Dalvin Cook, Michael Carter. There's so many running backs playing for the Jets right now. Better, good, quality, capable backs. Facing North Carolina and Florida State, it's a plus for Pitt. Pitt's going to get one of those two games. I could see it being Florida State. I think the writing is on the wall. The Panthers will have a major, major conference victory at home. And I think it's going to be Florida State. Remember when Kenny Pickett went into Heinz Field late in the year and knocked off Miami's playoff hopes? Yeah, I think the case could be the same with Florida State. And that'll be the signature win that'll put Pitt right there again, in the top, right around the top 25. Notre Dame, I don't know how much of a shot there is that Pitt wins that game. Narduzzi's team's going to put up a good fight. But at Notre Dame, I was there last year for a Notre Dame-Boston College game. It is a tough place to play. It's a unique environment there. The Syracuse game is not going to be easy. Being played at Yankee Stadium, neutral site game. The lore and the luster of Yankee Stadium is going to be pretty cool. And then there's that, what's that it game? What game could get away from Pitt? I think it's that Virginia Tech game, potentially. Or even at Duke. More so Virginia Tech, because it's a middle-of-the-year type of game instead of at Duke. Because at the very end of the year, I think Narduzzi will have everything squared away with the team. And there'll be a lot more stability at the end where they're not going to lose a game to Duke. But I like the young secondary a lot. MJ Devonshire returns to man the secondary. There's a ton of key players in the back end that are really starting to come into their own. And there's some young players that could emerge in the defensive line. We think about some of the players like Elliot Donald, Nakai Johnson, Dorian Ford in that recruiting class, Ford now playing on the offensive line. John Fitzsimmons is there now to pair with some of the guys like Hayes. Some of the younger guys learning from Danielson, TJ guy. Hopefully he doesn't bang his helmet up against his head too much. But Narduzzi continues to prove others wrong. I could see him do it again. It's the first year without the Coastal Division. No more divisions. Out the window. Goodbye. It's not going to be like when Pitt faced off against Wake Forest. Kenny Pickett, ACC Championship, fake slide. How lights out Pitt's defense played. The running game was on full display. And for me, Narduzzi is going to continue to drive the bus. He's going to be the catalyst for this team. But the schedule is so, so difficult, to the point where it's probably the most difficult schedule since Pitt's had a Clemson on the schedule or something like that. But Florida State is, if you would buy many, to be in similar lights as Clemson this year and a potential college football playoff team. Notre Dame is always in those conversations. North Carolina has a Heisman Trophy candidate at quarterback. West Virginia is on the road. Syracuse is at Yankee Stadium, and I don't think that should be taken lightly. I think Pitt will still win the game, but it'll be a difficult environment against a Syracuse team that isn't very good, but still could give Pitt a run for their money in the neutral site game. And would it be that much better in the Carrier Dome? I don't know. Pitt's usually had decent success there. Boston College should be a good win for Pitt, but again, it's on a Thursday night. It's a lot of odd circumstances for the Panthers in the schedule this year. Now it's on to Penn State. The Nittany Lions, 20.5-point favorites against West Virginia. I'll be there tomorrow. So stoked, so excited for that. It's the Drew Aller Show for Penn State. And something that's just been so asinine for me. I just don't get it. And it's just stupid by the NCAA to not mandate this. James Franklin has not released a 2-deep. He hasn't released one. So in spite, West Virginia has done the same. Rather, not done the same. We don't know who the 2-deep is for West Virginia and Penn State. It's absolutely ridiculous. Everybody in the country knows Drew Aller is going to start for the Nittany Lions. A little bit more questions on the West Virginia side. But you know it's going to be Aller. You know that the ball is going to be handed off to Nick Singleton and Catron Allen, Dio Johnson at tight end, a defensive core led by sophomore Abdul Carter. And Penn State's got a hell of a lot of sophomore talent between Abdul Carter. Singleton and Allen are both sophomores. Drew Aller is going to be a sophomore this year. Aller learning from Sean Clifford, Clifford the Big Red Dog, who was around for pretty much an entire decade as the Penn State quarterback. He's moved off to greater things in the NFL. Mid-round pick with the Green Bay Packers. This is the year for Penn State. Next year, too, but this is a huge make-or-break year for James Franklin. Pat Narduzzi said, call up James Franklin. Call him up. We've called. We've asked. We want the game to be played. The game should be played. But instead, Penn State's playing West Virginia to begin the year. First game of the year. I believe that it'll be a one-possession game going into the fourth quarter against the Mountaineers. And that's just not blind faith in West Virginia. That's week one needing preseason reps. And that's why I think that the Steelers, when you say, oh, well, should Kenny Pickett play? Should Cam Hayward play? Should TJ Watt play? Yeah, a couple series. I think that could be beneficial to college players, too. You're going up against your fellow teammates in practices. It is difficult, and we've seen it. That's why SEC schools schedule Mercer, schedule Florida A&M, come up with any other. Delaware. Penn State will play Delaware week two. You have West Virginia. Should be a win. I still think it'll be a win by 21 points, but it will be a one-possession game going to the fourth. Delaware, Illinois, and then Iowa in the whiteout before facing Northwestern, a program in shambles. UMass. I mean, that's after week seven. The schedule doesn't heat up for Penn State until you get to week eight. At Ohio State. And that is going to be the game that I think Penn State loses. I don't know what Ohio State and Ryan Day are going to do at quarterback, but they got some guy named Marvin Harrison Jr. who's going to be the second pick overall in the draft. The Cardinals are tanking. Houston sucks. It's going to be the number one pick, the Arizona Cardinals, taking Caleb Williams. And they have Houston's pick, which will probably be Marvin Harrison Jr., and you'll be able to pair with Caleb Williams, which is kind of exciting to see who's going to be throwing the ball. I still don't really know. Indiana on the 28th of October to end October at Maryland. Trap game for Penn State. It's going to be a little bit difficult, but the Nittany Lions should win it. And then Michigan. Big noon kickoff. November 11th. I can't wait for this one. If it was not for TV rights, it would be a prime time game. The game that everybody's watching, but big noon, whatever. If Penn State wins that game and plays very competitively and loses to Ohio State, Penn State will be, more than likely, in the Big Ten Championship. And then you face off against a Minnesota, a Wisconsin. If Penn State wins the East, they will win the Big Ten. And that's the same case for Michigan, who's won it in back-to-back years, and for Ohio State. And then it's Rutgers, and then at Michigan State. That game being played in Detroit, neutral site game, at the Lions Stadium between Michigan State and Penn State. Man, I see 11-1. I don't know if the playoffs is that much of a reality. A lot of analysts are picking Penn State to go to the playoffs, and it's saying that this is just such a big year for James Franklin. This is the time that when you strike. Jim Harbaugh, there's been controversy over the suspension. I think it's a 3-game suspension to begin the year. It was supposed to be NCAA imposed, now it's self-imposed by Michigan. Ohio State, not as much talent there. Still, hell of a lot of talent, but not as much talent there as years past. This is the year for Penn State to make moves. It was the Rose Bowl last year. You're moving on to Drew Aller. Big time 4-star, 5-star recruit. The offensive line, Olufoshanu returns at left tackle. He'll be a top 5 pick. There's so much to like for this Nittany Lions squad. I just want to see Pitt go up against them so badly. So badly. West Virginia, 5-7. There's not much that Neil Brown really can do with this West Virginia team. I mean, it's going to be difficult. You got to go up against Penn State. You're not going to win that game week one to begin the year unless you get them on a little bit of a trap game because it's week one. Pitt, still think Pitt wins that game, but it's going to be close. Oklahoma State, UCF has played tight. They're in the Big 12. BYU, welcome to the Big 12. Oklahoma, that's never easy. Baylor, They got to go up against TCU on September 30th. Yeah, they were just in the national championship game. West Virginia should beat Duquesne. I would hope so. Texas Tech? Probably, maybe, at home. At Houston? That could be a difficult game. UCF? Cincinnati? It's not going to be easy for West Virginia. 5-7 might be a little bit optimistic. But that game will be on NBC, WVU, Penn State. This Saturday, 7:30, Pitt Wofford, 3:30. Penn State is going to be the best team in the state. Pitt's going to be second. Pitt is going to be in a decent bowl. Maybe the Pinstripe Bowl game again. I hope not, because they're playing at Yankee Stadium already. Plus, the Pinstripe Bowl has just gotten so stale. I'd like to see the Sun Bowl was a decent bowl for Pitt. But I want to see it taken to the next level, and I just don't know if that's going to be the case with how everything is shaping out in the schedule. It's so hard having to play Notre Dame and Florida State back-to-back. And I don't know if Pickett's one of those games. I hope so, but I don't think. And then for Penn State, if you win one of the Ohio State-Michigan games and the other one is close, if I'm Penn State, I want to beat Michigan at home and then make sure Ohio State is close. I think you're knocking down the door of the playoffs. Because if you win the Big Ten, you're in the playoffs. You're in. And for West Virginia, it's tough times continuing to be ahead. Coming up next, former Pitt quarterback Kenny Pickett. A star in the making. So says multiple NFL analysts. Who's next to jump on the hype train? We'll tell you next. Fan Only Morning Show. I'm Austin Beck. Till 9 through 10, The Fan.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.